Speedy Gonzalez, racist character or no?
Yes.
Why?
Well, first of all, it's obnoxious that he talks the way he does, and he's so silly. And also, it doesn't make any sense. Everyone knows that Mexicans don't rush to go anywhere.
Welcome back to Podcast X. I'm Trenchcoat Mafia. With me is
MC Trekkie.
And this is part two in our series of mini reviews that I like to call Fuck the Bitches.
Yeah, and I have not been so enthusiastic to do a series of podcasts. I am so happy to see the bitches get their comeuppance.
Well, you may not like this story, actually, then, but it does fit in with the theme. And I just want to say, if for some ungodly reason you've come back to listen to part three of our Superman and Bugs Bunny review, once again, like last week, that does follow this little mini review of this story from Flinch, issue 12. It was a horror comic, a pretty good one. Although we're just reviewing this one story, and why don't you kick things off here?
It opens up with this beautiful girl. We see her voluptuous body and her heaving breast looking over lovingly at, looks like, the narrator slash audience. And she says that, he says that, you don't know if it's a she or he, but you assume it's a he. My greatest joy, my happiest moments were watching you, and you see just how beautiful she is. And he's obviously now looking down on her, gazing endlessly at those sweet, kissable lips, that delicate, upturned nose. But best of all, perhaps, entranced by her eyes that pulled me spiraling down, eyes that I became lost in. And of course, ooh, boom, now we're in color.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's kind of like
funny, the present is black and white, and the past is in color, which hurts my
head.
There's
kind of a reason for that, though.
Right, because, Clearly, this art is by that goddamn Frank Quitely, who I can't stand, who you love.
The great Frank Quitely. No one draws like him.
Oh, no, that's true. That's true. Because let me tell you what pisses me off. Because, you see, okay, this is a flashback, and you see this skinny little kid who, my name, he couldn't even remember his own name. Then you see this girl who is described as, you were incredible, you were ethereal, you were ice cream and sunshine.
Now, mind you,
this girl is not ethereal.
Okay.
This is not an ethereal drawing.
I was going to say, this is also fifth grade. So here we have the genius, Bruce Jones. We have praised him before. He could really write a horror short story like nobody, let me tell you.
Yes. I agree. It's very well written.
This is years after his...
It sure is well written.
Oh, stop.
Yes,
it's
very well...
Okay, you know what? You hate Quitely. Moving on.
Thank you.
Yeah. The thing is, he wrote a lot of those great old creepy and eerie stories, and here he is, decades later, he's still got it. He knows how to fucking tell a horror story. And she does look ethereal, actually, here, so stop it.
So you say. All right.
But anyway, she's like, I'm Lila. What's your name? And he's like, and then this, goon shows up, and he's like the bully. And he's like, the lady asked you a question, dork face.
Notice he's reading comics, by the way.
Yeah, to show he's a geek, yeah.
Yeah, he's minding his own business reading comics. See what happens when you read comics? So don't read comics, boys and girls, lest a bully come and kick you in the face.
Well, wait a minute. Wait, we're reading a comic.
Note the irony.
Anyway, the bully punches him for no apparent reason, but the little girl, who of course naturally is with the bully, even in fifth grade, she, the hottest fifth grade chick in the school, is like, wow. Anyway, she calls him off. And here's the thing. He's like pining over her, but she's with the bully. And then one day, I guess they're at camp, and they're in a canoe, and she falls into the water. The bully who was in the canoe with her can't swim, so she's going to drown. But what a surprise. The geek can swim, and he saves her. And from that day on...
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, from that day on, the only important thing is that, of course, the bully is friends with the geek now because he saved his girlfriend. So there you go. So now the three of them are friends. And now all of a sudden it's the Gulf War. Wow, this is some compressed storytelling here. It's like years later.
Pete, Mick signed up. Mick joined the army.
Now notice she's got a cry on him.
Right, because he's the friend. He's the skinny friend.
How does she not know after all these years that like he's in love with her? She's torturing him. I'm just saying. Ah.
Yeah. Well, that's women for you.
Exactly. That's sort of the point here. And
I hope she gets. I hope she gets her comeuppance. But let's keep going.
No. I'm telling you that you might want to.
She deserves her comeuppance.
Well, she does actually, because she's treated the guy as nothing more than a friend all these years, despite the fact that she has to know that he is like totally into her, and she's only got eyes for the me, and here he is, me go fight in Gulf War now, duh. Yeah, look at this here. He tells the geek to keep an eye on the girl, and here they are, like in the movies, sharing a tub of popcorn. And, like, just look at her. This is why Quietly is good. Look at her face. Shallow. Vacuous. And look at him. He just wants her so much that he can't stand it.
Well, he's got his cock in the popcorn, you know. He's just waiting for her reach down into the popcorn.
It would be a very different story if that happens.
Well, wait a minute. Look at her. She looks like she kind of knows. Do you see that face?
This is what I'm saying. And, Quietly has just, through an expression, told us a lot about this girl.
That she knows that his cock is in the popcorn, yes. Okay, let Frank Quietly draw anything that has cock in the popcorn. Okay?
Hey, what was that SNL sketch?
He's not allowed to draw All-Star Superman, because Superman looks dimpled and fat and goofy.
You know what, until you stop reading that comic, you can't say that. But anyway...
Well written.
Well, yes it is, actually. In Iraq... the big doofus gets crippled.
Yes. Well, he gets his comeuppance, which is good.
For now, he's gotten his
comeuppance. Yeah, and he must be the four people that got injured in the first Iraq War. Well, four people got injured, he was one of them, and he got injured the first week. He's unlucky and stupid.
Oh, but yeah.
Yeah, 3 weeks, like, 3 weeks later, he's back in the arms of the girl who's showing us her ass. And thank you, Frank Quietly, because that is a beautiful ass. Oh, and she's hugging her boyfriend, who's looking all sad because he's in a wheelchair. And apparently now compressed time frame again. Here's our friend who is in the office working hard. And he's got a picture of his beautiful girl that he never got to fuck.
Yeah, years later, the bully contacts him. Bully's still in a wheelchair, of course. And
of course.
Here's the thing. And this is realistic. The girl is not satisfied because he can't fuck her now that he's a filthy cripple. So the bully approaches the geek, who was, is, I guess, his best friend, as he says, and begs the geek to fuck her for him.
Yeah, and oh, by the way, this is good art. I'm going to hand it – okay, this is good because he's shaggy now, and he looks – like he looks like he's shaking. He's angry. You see the perspiration. She wants the old Mick, not me. She's a healthy, vibrant woman, Pete. She needs a whole man. You got to do this for me, Pete. You know what you have to do. You have to bring your popcorn. Bring your popcorn, Pete.
Okay, he does.
Now look at him.
He doesn't say that about the popcorn, but
he does too say that about the popcorn. Make love to her. Keep her happy. Bring the popcorn. Say you'll do this for us, Pete. Promise me.
By the way, Pete agrees.
Of course, Pete agrees. Now, I don't know whether this is his fantasy in his head, but there he is in the temple. He's lying down, and here's his Venus de Milo coming down, walking toward him.
That one panel is fantasy because here we have the reality.
Right.
The bitch is stripped down and ready for action, and so is he, standing over her when she cries out, "All right, darling, I'm ready." But of course,
and then you see the silhouette.
Yeah, she's talking to her husband, who is in a wheelchair, to come over and watch. Him watch the geek fuck her.
Now I have a question.
I had a question for you, but go ahead, ask yours first.
Well, you are Dr. Misogyny. So, Dr. Misogyny, who in this case is being cuckolded?
You know what? I would have to say the guy in the wheelchair technically is being cuckolded. Physically.
Even though it's his idea.
Because psychologically, the geek who loves the guy's wife is just really being fucked over. Because nobody said anything about this. Now, here's the question. You're the geek. Do you fuck the girl? Knowing that her husband is going to be there holding her hand the whole time, watching you fuck her.
Yes.
Yeah, I got to agree, but that's a fucking tough one, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. So what was your question? I'm sorry I interrupted you.
That was the question.
Okay, same thing. See?
Yeah. So and as she's coming, she's crying out the bully's name. Oh yes, Mick. And the geek is thinking, you know, until that moment, I don't think I knew how much I hated Mick.
Right. Now you see what you're not seeing, audience, because unless you're bringing this up on your comic reader, is that she's holding his hand throughout this whole thing.
Yep.
She's holding her handicapped fucking cuckoldest husband's hand through this whole fucking thing.
And wow, this is a really, I'm surprised DC Comics, okay, most people consider like adult comics to be tits and curses, and even though this has tits and curses, this is a real adult comic. I mean, thematically.
When I first read this, I broke my computer mouse. I actually physically, I broke it. I threw it against the fucking wall. I was so pissed off.
At her.
I was so pissed off at this woman.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Bitches are so selfish that they really pretty much all are just like this. She sees nothing wrong with what she's doing to this poor guy.
She deserves to be fucked, right? And her husband, it wasn't her idea for her husband to go to the Gulf War, right? She didn't paralyze him, right? She deserves to be fucked.
Look at the geek.
And as long as the husband's there.
He's like, because the geek's narrating the story. I didn't sleep that night or any night after. And the girl I'd been seeing for 2 years caught the worst of it. And sure enough, he's breaking up with his girlfriend. And she's like, oh, why? Boo-hoo-hoo. And he's like, I became a dead man after that, a zombie. And sure enough, look at him. He's got like the beard stubbled and he's a mess. And he's fucking up on his job here. And things are getting more interesting and sick. As he's asking,
he's a dumbass for leaving his girlfriend. I don't quite understand why he left his girlfriend.
Because he loves the blonde. He's always loved the blonde. Anybody else is just a stand-in.
I get it, but yeah, okay, all right.
I mean, that's enough for me. Of course, he's a dumbass, but I'm saying that's why. Yeah, he's like in this scenario here, this night, because he's stuttering. What's with the scarves and leather, man? She likes it, Pete. Come on, be a sport. And here he
is. That's when the real downward spiral began.
Yeah, this is great. He is like torturing her because she likes it. And the husband's like, yeah.
Why? And he's smacking her. There's blood on her face. He's smacking her.
And what's he saying afterwards? Lila, I'm sorry. Sob, audible sob. And she's just like, Mick.
Still yelling out the husband's name.
The geek doesn't even exist to her. In her head, it's Mick doing all this to her. Oh. And he gave her such loving torture. Anyway. Oh, look at this. This is awesome. I like that he's contemplating suicide here, but he doesn't.
Pussy.
Yeah. Caption is like, just when I thought it couldn't get any worse. He's like, movies? Meanwhile, look at her. She is chained to the bed.
Face down, ass, legs spread, legs akimbo, buttocks out. And he's shining. I wasn't sure if he was shining the projector on her ass or the wall.
No. He is showing them somehow so she can see the movies. And what is he projecting as he's going to be fucking her in the ass while she's chained down?
Highway safety films. Bloody stuff. She digs it.
What the fuck is Bruce Jones' head?
Which reminds me of the favorite movie of all time, which you, Transcut Mafia, showed me, Crash, which we refer to. I would choose to refer that in every episode of Podcastics I'm in.
By the way,
Crash.
Yes, the Cronenberg Crash. Yes.
People get off on car crashes and bloody stumps and all that sort of thing. It is great.
Yes, it is.
And Arquette never looked better. She was so fucking hot in that with the zippers and the pain and the stitches.
Hey, look here. The geek finally gets up the nerve to tell Lila that he loves her. And she's like, I think you better go. Ooh. Oh, bitch. Anyway, he's like, okay, fuck this. You know what? I'm buying a gun, and I'm going to kill Mick. Fuck this shit.
Because jumping off a cliff takes too long, so I'm going to go buy a gun and shoot myself.
Oh, I thought he was going to kill Mick. Yeah, he was probably going to kill himself.
Yeah, because he was thinking of the seaside cliff, and he said, I'm thinking of a faster way.
Check it out. He's in a bar, and who does he see? Mick. Walking.
Standing up.
Yeah, and he follows Mick, and what's Mick doing? He takes a total skank to a bar, to a motel that he picked up in that bar, and he's fucking the skank. And that's when dude corners Mick in his car, takes the gun, puts it to his head. He's like, you cheating goddamn liar son of a bitch. Yeah.
And Pete, it's not like what you think, Pete.
It's not. Because you know what? It's the bitch. As
right?
As Mick says, she knew, man. She helped me learn to walk. But by then, we were both into it.
Me watching her, her watching me, getting off on
okay,
it.
You know
saw
what?
The look in her eyes.
Just when I thought this story couldn't get any sicker. And he's saying we couldn't stop it. It got addictive. You know, the watching was the thing, you know. Her face, the pain, the pleasure, the shame.
Just stop it.
Yeah, he's actually, he's like, he's had enough, finally.
Then they drive off a cliff.
Yeah, because, like, this truck smashed into them. Or was gonna, but they went off the past the rails.
And clearly you think that Mick, the evil husband, is going to get his comeuppance. Clearly you know that Mick is going to die.
Well, no, because the next scene we
and
see...
And Pete is going to get the girl, because that's
stop,
the way things
stop,
should work
no,
out.
No, stop it. Because here, on the last page, Mick's fine, and the geek...
The evil husband is fine.
Yeah, he's fine. The geek is all fucked up, and in fact, he's suffering, quote, complete paralysis.
And he's in the wheelchair now.
Yeah, all he can do is, like, see and hear. And Mick and Lila are like, Mick's like, don't worry, buddy, you're coming with us. Everything's going to be fine. And Lila's like, we'll take care of you, Pete, I swear it. And back to the beginning of the story. He's like, my greatest joy, my happiest moments were watching you gazing endlessly. And it's like, okay, here we go again. It's like, wait, he's paralyzed, so he can't be fucking her. And of course, we pull back and we see that now Mick, who, as we just discovered, is perfectly fine and can fuck Lila, is fucking her. And she is holding the geek's hand, looking into his eyes, as they have laid him on the bed, and apparently do this all the time now, and let him watch his nemesis, Mick, fuck Lila forever for the rest of their lives. Welcome to hell.
No, he's happy, though.
Is he?
Yeah.
I don't think we agree on that.
He's smiling.
He can't smile. He can't move a muscle.
Eyes I became lost in, eyes to die.
You know what? I think you were so horrified by this ending where the bitch wins. She wins.
Yeah, she is smiling, isn't she?
She is the one smiling. Because she has the only two men that she gives a shit about. Not that she really gives a shit about the friend, really. And that's it. That's all she needs. She has complete control over everything, over them. She has won the end. He is permanently, you know, stuck in the role of the impotent, helpless friend. Which was the horrific thing all along, is that that's all she ever considered him to be. This is one of the most horrifying stories I have ever read.
Yeah, you suck. I was all ready to... You know, it's fine, because I was ready to hate women, and now I still hate women. So I'm okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I give this a 9, because this makes me want to go out in the street and kill bitches.
Yes. Yes, I give this 9 / boobs.
So if you're out there and, you know, you're a bitter guy, you know, kill some women, you'll feel better. And on that note...
If you knew how long before you know that you're gone, you grow wings and fly home to me, home tonight. And in the morning sun, let's pretend we're bunny rabbits. Let's do it all day long. Let's have a
Okay, here's part three of our review of the Superman and Bugs Bunny limited series.
Okay, so we're in issue three.
Yeah, Bat Duck.
And here we have a little Speedy, who's now Green Arrow, I guess.
No. Okay, well, let me...
No, never mind. It's not important.
It is important. This is Connor. Connor Hawk.
Gotcha.
Green Arrow's illegitimate son.
Can't even keep his arrows in his pants.
No. I told you about that scene, that flashback scene in a recent issue where Connor Hawk's mother goes up to young Oliver and she's like, I'm pregnant. And he's like, paternity test. She's like, what? And he's like, paternity test. I mean, if I get a vote, I vote we get rid of it. But if not, paternity test. She's like, how dare you? You just think I'm after your money. Of course you are, you bitch. Why'd you get pregnant then? It was great. Judd Winnick,
and you say the DC
Judd
Universe
Winnick is a bad writer, but goddamn, can he write good individual scenes when he bothers to?
And you say the DC Universe is too charming and campy. That's not charming or campy. That seems pretty real, you know.
Actually,
to me.
I found it pretty funny. I think I laughed. I'm like, haha, you stupid bitch.
I don't think it was meant to be funny, but it is a good scene.
Well, we were talking about Superman being a deadbeat. There is a scene later where she has the kid, and Green Arrow, just like Superman in Superman Returns, is like, I'll be around. Oliver Queen is one of the best characters in the DC Universe. He knows how to treat the bitches. Because it's like, bitch, just don't have the kid. You are trying to get his money, you greedy fucking whore. But anyway, yeah, Green Arrow. You know, I kind of like this costume, I have to admit, with the brown. It's not bad. It's like it's a more realistic version of the Green Arrow costume that we're used to.
Yep.
So, this guy here, the retarded bear cartoon, gives Connor the singing frog, J. Michigan Frog.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hello, my baby. Yeah.
Okay. Thoughts?
I like it. Well, I always liked this character. I think they overused him for the WB, but I like this character.
And it's great because they're used.
And no matter who ends up with this character, they always end up destitute, poor, fucked up. And he only sings for his owner. He never sings for anyone else.
You know why I like that cartoon? It's really mean-spirited.
Yeah, it is.
And so is this. Connor's like, dude, to this homeless guy. Dude, check out this frog. It's singing and dancing. And then, of course, just like in the cartoon, the frog's like, ribbit. And the homeless wino is actually thinking, a little early in the day for a superhero to be in that condition.
Yeah, when a wino doesn't have any respect for you, then you know you're in bad shape.
Ah, man. You know, I don't like Connor or Kyle or any of these, like, imposters, so I'm fine with him being humiliated. And, by the way, fuck the scanners. Notice that they didn't, well, I don't know your scan, but they didn't split these two pages in this double-page spread. Or rather, they did. They split them apart instead of making it one image, and that annoys me. Moving on. Elmer.
I barely even noticed that.
It's just annoying. Elmer's here posing. Notice that he's no longer completely bald because he has the Clark Kent cowlick in the front of his head.
This spit curl, yeah.
And, Dodo and Mixleplick are really fighting here. Look at Dodo, man. He's pissed.
We knew it was going to happen.
Well, they decide to settle it like toons and have a pie fight. They're like, well, the count of three.
With the Marquis of Imspray rules. Yep.
Yeah. He's an imp.
And they both cheat.
Well, of course they would. And now they're fighting. Okay, this is great. Look, it's Superman. He's much shorter than I thought he was. And uglier. That's funny. Yeah, Elmer is attacking the Toy Man's goons. And, wow. The Toy Man's goons' death rays or whatever they're using here turn Elmer back into plain old Elmer Fudd. And now, okay. Bugs saves Elmer. in character, yes or no? Because you wanted Elmer to kill Bugs. Should Bugs let Elmer die here? Elmer is always trying to kill him.
No. Hmm. No, neither one should kill the other. I was just being a dickhead.
Oh, well, what
if Elmer were normal, he would, but Elmer's not normal. He likes his pain.
Yes, he does.
Besides, that's his bread and butter, you know? How's he going to get work if he kills Bugs Bunny? Same thing.
Hmm. Yeah. Now, here you go. Bugs is outsmarting these guys. He's doing his usual, hey, buddy, you know what this guy said about you?
Yeah, he finally woke up.
Yeah, he saves Elmer. The Toy Man's goons have taken each other out. The Toy Man's ship with Bugs and Elmer on board is going to crash. And it is freaky to see Foghorn Leghorn confronting Clark Kent here.
I say, what's the matter with you, boy?
I recognize him from one of them there comical books. Comical books. Don't just stand there, son. I have to admit, Evanier has Foghorn down. This is exactly how he talks.
Yes.
Which is why he annoys me, though. See, so he can't win. Okay, I think I've said it for issues 1 and 2 during our reviews of those. I don't think I've said it for this issue yet. I just wanted to add, once again, fuck Mark Evanier. Okay, I feel much better now. Hey, did you notice that Clark/Superman has gray hair in this comic?
No, I didn't notice that.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm okay with that. Especially since Lois looks so young in this. Heh. All right, Superman has his powers back. He's going to save the day. And there he is. Foghorn's telling him, by the way, the glasses ain't fooling anyone. Hmm. And Superman saves Bugs and Elmer, of course. Hey, Commissioner Gordon. Cool. Okay. What is going through Jim Gordon's head here as Batman shows up, except that Batman is Daffy Duck? What is Jim Gordon thinking here?
That it's a Joker scheme, which it was.
Well, no, it wasn't.
Well, that's what Jim Gordon thinks.
Eh. Hmm. Okay, let's see here. Yeah, Commissioner Gordon's freaked out, of course. Back to, Okay, Batman is having a strange urge to fly south since he's been switched. I know this is painful to you. He's been switched with Daffy Duck. Let me quote Alfred here, just to embarrass you and your hero. I'm trying to figure out why you were bouncing around the Batcave going woo-woo.
I'm so glad they didn't show that. I would have stopped this podcast if that had happened.
That would have been the greatest Batman scene ever.
I would have gone over to your murder shack and like erased the MP3 of this podcast.
We can recreate the scene. So
let's not.
Would you like more faggy protein drinks?
They're not faggy protein drinks. Protein shakes are good for you.
Yes, I would, Alfred. I am very conscious about my health. You see, when I'm fucking Robin in the ass, I like to be very energetic and pump him very well. Very good, sir. May I watch as I usually do? No, you old queen. Because I'm Bat... Woo-woo! 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 What the fuck was that? Sir, I think the symptoms from your AIDS are becoming ever more bizarre. Yeah, that's how that scene would have gone down. Moving on. He does admit that his mind is not working properly here.
That makes two of you. Okay. Let's see. That wasn't bad. That wasn't bad, except the AIDS part. Keep it a little too far with the AIDS part.
I always go too far. You know that.
Look, protein shakes are good. The people that need to build up their muscles because they work with fucking superheroes that don't have superpowers, they got to eat the protein.
Why don't they just take mutant growth hormone?
Yeah, there is that.
Which is a cool, it's a cool drug.
Is there that in the DC universe?
No, that I know of. Although, there's Venom. That's the stuff that makes Bane super strong.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I think there was a comic where Bruce Wayne was taking Venom, and he got addicted to it.
Jesus.
He felt he needed an edge. Well, if you had gotten your back broken.
Oh, hmm. Well, in that context, maybe.
Oh, no, he learned his lesson, I'm sure. I didn't read. I can't read everything, especially when it comes to Batman. Back to Green Arrow and his talking frog. Oh, what are they doing now? Oh, yeah, they've mixed the two universes now, have the Dodo and Mixleplick. So now we have, like, an amalgam universe, but instead of Marvel and DC, it's Looney Tunes and DC. I like that Pepe Le Pew is all over Wonder Woman here, and she's like, well, he still smells better than half the men I've met.
Okay, now this art is terrible in this page, but...
Okay, why do you say that?
She looks awful. She looks out of proportion. She looks, like, she looks awful. Arthur looks awful. Batman looks okay.
But he's smiling.
And so is the Flash. Why is everyone smiling?
They're happy. What?
Do you like birds, Batman? Well, I have been seen around a robin. Oh. Oh.
And Foghorn is slapping Kyle in the back so hard that Kyle has gone flying. Because Kyle is weak and inferior. And he is no Green Lantern. His name is not Hal Jordan. He is an imposter. Foghorn's like, drop by and visit sometime. Just give me a ring. Get it? Ring! It's a joke, son! Yosemite confronting Superman for no reason. Bugs talking down John Jones. John just standing there like, who the fuck is this obnoxious rabbit? And most importantly, Green Arrow trying to convince Elmer Fudd that the frog sings and dances. Elmer's like, heroes on this planet are wee-wee squee. Okay, exposition, blah, blah.
So it's time for us to rate the comic.
What?
Well, we're at the end, aren't we?
No.
Seems like an ending to me.
No.
Seems like it's ending. Everybody's happy, everybody's joking around, patting each other in the back. It seems like an ending.
Okay.
Right?
Why do you hate this comic so much that you're actually trying to will it to end before it's ended?
Well, on behalf of the fans, you keep forgetting that I do have that psychic link to the fans. Aren't we done?
No. We're only on page 18 of issue 3. In fact, we've gone so long with this one. Now let me check. Here.
We.
Yes, this is already at least a two-parter.
Oh.
So as I was saying, going off on a tangent.
You just tell the fans how great it is, and then at the very end, I'll just say it sucks. There, they'll save a lot of time. What? What?
I would do that, except that would suck, and we're like one of the few podcasts that don't suck.
That's fine.
I like Speedy Gonzalez here. Ay, caramba! Oh, I didn't get to ask you because you were like answering your phone. Speedy Gonzalez, racist character or no?
Yes.
Why?
Well, first of all, it's obnoxious that he talks the way he does, and he's so silly. And also, it doesn't make any sense. Everyone knows that Mexicans don't rush to go anywhere now.
You know, you have a very good point.
He
should be wanting to take a siesta. That's what he should
exactly.
be wanting to do. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I was saying this off the air.
His name should be Siesta Gonzalez.
Dan DiDio, to his credit, I normally hate him, is making an effort to get DC Comics out on time. And if a comic's not finished on deadline, he's getting like other artists to finish the comics. And I applaud this. Should have been done a long time ago. Whereas, not that I'm saying Spaniards are lazy, like you just said about Speedy Gonzalez and Mexicans, but Joe Quesada's attitude is just the opposite. The comics come out when they come out and fuck the readers. Why rush, you know, people? Let them take their time.
I didn't say that Mexicans are lazy. I just said that they weren't necessarily speedy.
Uh-huh. Hey, did you see the Sarah Silverman show where her maid moves back to Mexico?
No.
That's hilarious. You have to watch that one. I will say no more because that one will ruin the episode for you. But, look. The Looney Tunes are about to be made honorary members of the Justice League here.
Ugh.
And Bugs says, hey, thanks. Maybe we can get you an autographed picture of Michael Jordan or something. Because, of course, Space Jam.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wah, wah, wah. Oh, come on.
What?
Oh.
Now, here's my thing. I have always had a problem with, like, honorary members of anything. Because Rick Jones was an honorary Avenger. What the fuck can Rick Jones do? Oh, this reminds me. And it goes back to one of those previous podcasts we did. Rick Jones is apparently not the Red Hulk. He's the new blue abomination.
Emil, whatever his name is?
No. The Red Hulk shot him dead.
Oh, for real? Okay.
No, as it appears for real so far. I should say, at the time of this recording, only the first two issues of Jeff Loeb's Hulk have come out. So anyway, as of this point in time, the Abomination appears to have been shot dead by the Red Hulk. It's a mystery who the Red Hulk is, but it's not Rick Jones. Rick Jones is the new Abomination, who is fighting with the Red Hulk now, and they're trying to kill each other. That was the cliffhanger.
Oh, okay.
Why does Jeff Loeb still get work?
He should only work on Batman, apparently.
I don't know. Even you are fearful of reading his Catwoman When in Rome series I've tried to get you to read.
Is Batman in it?
Yes, he is, actually.
Okay, then I'll read it.
Amazing.
The only way you got me to read this was because Batman was in it, so...
Doesn't it warm your heart to know that this story is canon?
No one says it's canon.
No one says it's not canon. By the way, there's no Elseworlds logo on the cover. At this point in time, if something was apocryphal, it would be given an Elseworlds logo on the cover.
It's got a WP Kids logo on it. It's got a Stanford. That's got to mean something.
Yeah, it means contractual obligation that they're using these characters. And they have to slap that onto any comic they're going to use these characters in. So, your hero Batman has palled around with the likes of Yosemite Sam and Pepe Le Pew. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Oh, there's plenty I can do about it.
Oh, boy. Okay, anyway, I like this, like, Green Lantern mobile thing that Kyle has zapped up. It's like a cable car, but there's no cables.
But yeah, what are they even in? Never mind.
Oh, look, now are they chipmunks? Is that what they are? Are they gophers? The two polite dudes?
Chipmunks.
I think they're gophers. You know why? Because I think
they are gophers.
Chip and Dale cornered the chipmunk thing, I think.
Well, they have the big teeth in the front, though.
Anyway, this goes all the way back to, there was a comic strip back in the early 1900s called Alphonse and Gaston, I don't know, who were just like this. The two Frenchmen were, oh, no, after you. No, after you, I insist. Yeah. So anyway, more stuff. Mixleplick is about to take a fall here. Yeah, sure enough, the Dodo has had enough of Mixleplick's bullshit. The Dodo makes himself like 20 feet tall. He looks like he's about to kick Mixleplick's ass. Dodo's like, I've had enough of this shit. Fuck you. I am going to merge the two universes forever and make MC Trekkie have to read DC comics with Looney Tunes in them for the rest of his life. Ha ha ha. Tune in next week, our Superman and Bugs Bunny limited series of reviews concludes, as does conclude our series of Fuck the Bitches reviews. So if you did fuck your cousin that wanted to fuck you and you had a kid, would it have two heads?
Yeah, it would probably have two heads.
Cool. All right.
Or it would just be dumb. It would just be dumb.
Oh.
Because she's dumb.
Oh.
Hmm?
You're mean. That's negativity.
She was so much cuter when she was younger.